Yep. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Sounds like a juicy case is coming up.
And there are a number of juicy cases coming up, and that's why the always dapper Mike Monaco is standing by in the studio with us.
Hello, Ro.
And even though I
How are you, Anna?
I'm good, Mike. Thanks. Mike's wearing my favorite color today, purple.
I see the, I you know what, the creepy uncle in the basement, he's locked me in the basement, which is why I'm in a secret remote location today. It is interesting. I'm able to see, because he's got the CLTV thing up, so I'm able to watch Mike.
Oh, you can see us? Doesn't he look good?
Yes, I can see you. Yes, I can see you actually paying no attention, which is really kind of interesting, Violetta. Taking your headphones off, putting them on your microphone, and then getting back on your phone. I see all of that.
Oh, my God.
He's watching you.
I thought we kind of had the day off since you weren't here.
Yeah. Everyone has been misbehaving. I just want to let you know.
I you know, I know that, actually. I can definitely sense that. So, yeah.
No, you're not here. You know, I don't have to work.
Well, you know what? This show is the most listened to afternoon talk show in Chicago. There is a reason. There is a reason that we're like that, because we work hard.
I'm still working hard, Ro. Just
yes,
so you know.
I know you are.
Something's hard at work. Let's not change it now.
Yeah, exactly. All right. A number of things. First of all, you know, Mike, one of the big problems we were having yesterday is as the Supreme Court hearings are going on in the Senate, it's a very impressive kind of setting here, too. Beautiful room. You got this Neil Gorsuch, or do you call him Gorsuch? I don't know. Nobody seems to know. And apparently, now I want you to listen to something here. I find this particularly disturbing. This is Chuck Grassley. He is the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, which is the committee hearing this. He is the chairman, and listen to what he said.
Before we recess, I'd like to enter into the record a commentary in the Chicago Tribune called Crying Wolf over Neil Gorsuch.
Oh, my gosh.
There's a new way to do it.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, wrong, too.
We've heard Gorsuch. We've heard Gorsuch.
Yes.
And there was a moment in the testimony today where I thought he was going to say his own name because somebody stumbled over another name, and he said, yeah, you don't worry about it. Do you think people have trouble with my name all the time? And I'm like, okay, say it. Just say what it is.
Well, he's appearing to be very friendly, and I think he's so far doing a pretty good job as a witness.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. I'm going to go with that's not the right way to say it.
Yeah, that him, right?
Yes.
Gorgeous.
Okay.
The 10th Circuit judge, mm-hmm. Gorsuch. Yes.
Did you see Senator Durbin was grilling him pretty hard about labor, human rights, civil rights. He asked him about women's place in the work, the women's situation in the workplace, taking leave or being, you know, being discriminated anyway. And it felt as if he was batting away a lot of these things by saying, look, I'm an independent. I stick to the letter of the law, the strict reading of the Constitution. Look at the thousands of pages of legal writings and, you know, it's out there. Who I am is out there. He wasn't so much taking the bait to jump in and give his own personal response on any of these issues. Is that common, Mike?
Yes, it's smart now ever since, you know, the 80s when it got horrible in the Senate when you were attacking people. But I thought that he did a pretty good job, and I think he's probably going to get voted through, I assume. And now the Democrats, their biggest gripe, of course, is that they're upset that Merrick Garland never got a vote. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they have every right to be upset about that. But it's over. That's over. So now we have to decide what's going to happen with Gorsuch.
You mean
Gorsuch.
or him.
Gorsuch.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's how that goes.
Yeah.
It's not as easy as it looks around here.
No, it's tough. Yeah. But I don't think he'll have a problem being, I mean, the Republicans are all going to vote for him. He'll be. I don't think the Democrats are going to have a filibuster. I can't imagine they are, but maybe they will. We'll see.
Now, it's interesting because on the issue of Roe versus Wade, which is always, the big litmus test for conservatives, he said that he would have walked out of his meeting with Donald Trump if Donald Trump had said, you've got to overturn Roe versus Wade.
He said, I would have walked out the door if Trump had asked him to reverse Roe versus Wade during the interview. So
what does that mean?
Well, I think it means it's a smart answer, that he knows he's not going to talk about it. And he knows the big question is, because Trump, throughout the election, President Trump talked about putting in the Senate people who would reverse Roe versus Wade. He said that's the first thing he's going to do.
Supreme Court, right.
Supreme Court, yeah. And that's, he said he's going to appoint people to the Supreme Court who would reverse Roe versus Wade. And that's what he said. And so it's important for every nominee, like Mr. Gorsuch or your friend Gorkrich, that would say, I have not said that. I have not promised anything. I have not. There is no litmus test. I have not agreed to anything before I come into the courtroom.
I'm not sure I believe any of this. As I'm watching it, I mean, I do, he's very charming.
He is
he's
very
got
charming.
This,
he is.
He's got this way about him. He's sort of very even keeled but he's intense when he has to be, but he's also very light. And he tells a bunch of dad jokes, as they're calling him.
He got teary eyed yesterday talking about an uncle who was an Episcopalian priest, I think.
He gave a hug to his wife, and he's talked about his family. He was asked, is there any part of this process that you regret? And he said, putting my family through all of this scrutiny, and that part's been very tough. He's been very respectful. He almost has that Mike Pence kind of earnestness about him, too.
Jimmy Stewart were running for the Supreme Court, or what? Not running, but whatever. What do you do for the Supreme Court?
You're nominated.
Confirmed. Yes, in your nomination process, it's like now look over there. All of your rulings are over there. They're in his house and in his farm.
Well, you know the irony is there's no federal judge in America has written more opinions quoting Justice Scalia than Merrick Garland, who was the Democratic's choice, who was President Obama's choice,
who's a Chicago native.
Yes, very exactly right, Chicago native. So
I will ask you this: how many has Judge
Gorsuch?
I'm
not sure.
Quoted.
He is very supportive of and very. He views Scalia as a mentor. So we got whatever that's going
to
get us.
It almost would take something really big to come out of these confirmation hearings for him not to be confirmed. Would you agree?
That's
with
exactly
that?
Right. That's exactly. They'd have to do something. He'd have to say something. It was a real mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Now we are talking about
Neil Gorsuch.
Yes, that's who we're talking about. Okay. Yeah.
Thankfully, we have his name right. Finally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As far as we know. Yeah. all right. So it does seem like he hasn't really stumbled, and there hasn't been any kind of really. And even as Democrats are trying to, and what I've noticed here, I noticed this yesterday in the Intel Committee when they were talking to the FBI and the NSA.
Yeah.
Same sort of thing where they want to get stuff into the record. They want to make a big deal about something, and there's a certain amount of grandstanding for their own reelection campaign as these senators, and in this case senators and yesterday congressmen, are doing this kind of stuff. But there doesn't seem to be a moment where they've tackled him to the ground. Can you explain a little something? Originalism and originalists are – that has come up a lot here.
Yeah, they're claiming that the Scalia used to say that the Constitution, it says what it says and it means what it says. Now, and he was of the opinion that we always have to go back to the original reading of the Constitution. And there are a lot of folks who don't agree with that. For example, when the Constitution was written, there was slavery in America. So it's hard to imagine that all of everything that's in the Constitution has to be read exactly as it was written. That's what originalists mean. That's what they think. That's what they abide by. Like people like Scalia go back to the original writing of the Constitution and what it said at the time that it was written. And I remember once Scalia spoke in Chicago and then he left, and a friend of mine got up who was an African-American who's now a judge in Cook County, and he said, I don't agree with Judge Scalia because when the Constitution was written, I would have been a slave. And so that was sort of impressive, I thought.
So the alternative is to put more of the lens of modern society onto the Constitution?
Absolutely, exactly. That the Constitution, like every other document, is alive, and you have to read it as if it's alive and that it means what people believe it to mean today.
So also in the terms that they would have seen the original, the people who wrote this, the founding fathers, the originalists, which was the name of my college band, that it had to be interpreted in the way that they meant it in the language of their time.
Right.
So that to me is, for example, there's a couple of fascinating problems here. They talk about the land and sea forces, and they never mention the Air Force. And there are some, honest to God, there are some people who believe that the Air Force is unconstitutional because the Founding Fathers never mentioned it explicitly.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? Or that they refer to men as president of the United States because women didn't have a right to vote until the 20th century.
Can you believe that?
Right,
so
exactly.
A fifth of the way into the 20th century.
Right.
So the idea is, can a woman ever become a president? And he was asked that actually by Senator Klobuchar from Minnesota, and he was like, of course, I got two daughters. What, are you kidding me?
Yeah. No, so that's why the originalist, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but... they taught that at the University of Chicago, I know, for many years, and still do, I think.
And we are, again, reminding you that we are talking about...
Gorkich.
Yes, exactly.
Neil Gorsuch,
yes.
Do we have time to ask you about the Rahm Emanuel email situation?
That?
That's the shocking local headline.
Yeah, the ethics board has started a bit of a furor here with getting 3,000 emails with the BGA and the...
Mm-hmm.
In that lawsuit, and Rahm agreed to give up 3,000 emails after it looked like he was going to be forced to do it. And so they're on, I think they're available today online.
They are. The Tribune has them in their entirety, I believe, in terms of if you want to read through every single one of them. But the bottom line was that there were people who they're saying were acting like as if they were lobbyists, 26 possible lobbying violations, meaning people who were moving to try to change legislation or adjust it in some way or introduce new legislation, but were not actually registered as lobbyists. They want to fine them.
Right. So the ethics laws say that you do not have to be paid by a company or be a party to be considered a lobbyist. If you make any effort to influence a city official, you are required to register with the city, which means you have to take a training course, file reports every 3 months detailing their activities, including who they lobbied and for whom they lobbied, and any political donations. So all of that has to be done. And most of these folks did give donations but did not register as lobbyists because they're looking after, I guess, their own companies or a friend's companies or whatever. Most of them sounds like companies that they have financial interests in.
Yeah. All right. Well, Mike, thank you very much. Thank you for wearing purple. Go Cats. Better luck next year.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say about
keep
that.
Hope alive.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. That's what we do. That's what we do here.
Yeah.
I think most people believe that about us is that we keep hope alive. And right now, Violetta Potter Medic has got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.